Because against or because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I'd like to send this verse to the Supreme Court and all the other courts across the land where they continue all of these crazy trials and all of that, and some of them for 3 and 4 and 10 years till they forget what they were all about. Well, this is what the preacher says. And this is exactly what men are doing today. They just keep rolling these things out and rolling them out. And because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so men persist in their wickedness. Why? Even if we do get caught, why, we won't be killed for another 10 years anyway, the way things are going. And this is the attitude in the very heart of men. So the preacher knew what he was talking about. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with him that fear God, which fear before him. And so he says, even though that the sinners do wickedness and they seemingly get by with, and they do get by with murder, he says, don't be deceived. I know this, it shall be well with them that fear God. And so we can take that promise. It seems like that the wicked side of the coin is getting all of the breaks. Well, never fear. Be that as it may, just believe God, fear God, and of course he is going to deliver us. Alright? Verse 17, then I beheld all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Well, some of the scientists need to be looking into this. They're trying to find out all of the works of God and what happens here and what happens there. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet shall he not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. And so they think that they know a lot of answers. But how many times have they just come back and said, this is only a theory, it's not a fact? Just points right, well, as he said, nothing new under the sun. Chapter 9, verse 2, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. Again, that one event, death. To the good, to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrifices, to him that does not, to him that is good, so is the sinner, he that swears, he that fears an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done in the sun. All, there is one event in all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. Madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. To him there is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Well, of course, our hope lies in eternal things. And so death is all that men have to look forward to here upon the earth. Verse 7, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart. God now accepts thy works. Let your garments be always white, let thy head like no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, the life of thy vanity, which is given thee under the sun. All the days of thy life, for that is the portion of this life, and thy labor, which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And to us, all of this simply means yield to God while we are yet alive. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Don't try to preserve so that you can live 150 years, as it were. All right. Verse 11. I returned and saw in the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Well, how many times have we seen this? I think this is brought out in so many, well, in actually all walks of life, how that the race is not always won. Sometimes they say, well, the better man win, but I really don't think he always does. There is a certain matter of chance that happens unto all of them. And so we find it so often that the race is not always won by the swiftest one. The battle is not always won by the strongest. Heavens, look at Israel. Why, such things has happened unto them. you know, were far outnumbered and defeated even before they went to the battle, yet they won. Well, of course, that is because that God fought for them. But anyway, as Solomon says to us here, there's a certain amount of chance in all of it. Right? Verse 12. Man also knows not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Well, man doesn't know his time. There's not one of us here tonight can pinpoint the day or the hour of our death or when we'll be translated. We don't know that time. Just like a fish that is taken unawares by net. This wisdom have I also seen under the sun. It seemed great unto me. Verse 17, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. Chapter 10, verse 1, dead flies cause the ointment to the of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So does a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So he says here that a dead fly in a sweet ointment makes it smell just as bad as folly is in the life of him that has a reputation or that is going for honor and glory. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, fool's heart at his left. Yea, also when he is a fool walks by the way, his wisdom fails him, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. That is by his very actions, I believe. Verse 10, if the iron be blunt, he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. And so he makes some various comparisons in here, and then relates to the words of a wise man being gracious, the lips of a fool swallowing up himself. And so sometimes it's better just to let a fool rattle on than that fool, simply means he talks without wisdom, he talks without knowledge, and pretty soon he will hang himself. Verse 18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house drops through. And of course, this is just natural wisdom. If you don't take care of a building, if you don't take care of a house, if you don't paint it, if you don't keep it up, it's going to fall down. Feast is made for laughter in verse 19, and wine makes merry, but money answers all things, and it seems that way today. So we read, love of money is the root of all evil, because what we're going to buy. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought. Curse not the witch in thy bedchamber. A bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. In other words, if you don't want it repeated, then you better not say it, even in your own bedchamber. And this is very good advice. Sometimes people will say, well, now, I'm going to tell you something. You be sure don't tell anybody. Well, that's like whistling to the winds. It's crazy. So he says here, don't curse the king. And also, not even in your thought. And that simply means that in our thoughts of where we could rebel against higher authorities, don't even think it. Don't say it, but don't even think it, the preacher says. And then curse not the rich, even in thy bedchamber where no one else is around. Because a little bird is going to carry the voice out of there. I think that's pretty well put. Verse 1 of chapter 11, cast thy bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it after many days. And that simply means don't take everything unto yourself and just treasure it all up and must have everything right here where I can see it, where I don't lose it. Cast your bread upon the waters. What you have, give it unto the Lord. Why? Thou shalt find it after many days. And you find that to be true, that you give unto the Lord, especially in this case. You cast everything you have unto the Lord, and he'll bring it back to you, even in material things. Verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree fall toward the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. And this simply means spiritual things, don't wait for a convenient time to yield to the Lord. In other words, he observes the wind shall not sow. If he gets up and it's the wind's not just exactly in the right direction, well, we're waiting another day before we sow our seed. Well, the next day it's blowing harder than ever. See? Always, the idea is that people are always afraid, I'm going to lose something. The wind's going to blow this seed away. It's just going to get everything get away from me. And so in this case, just cast it to the four winds anyway. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But no doubt of all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And this simply means that so many youthful years are wasted when men do not yield to the Lord. And how true that it is. When you hear people stand up years later and wishing that they had not wasted their younger years. But, of course, any time you yield to the Lord is a wonderful thing. Chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, wherein thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun of the light of the moon and the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. And then he mentions this as being, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And of course we remember, or we yield to God in the days of our youth. In other words, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. But we can have pleasure in the Lord even in the days of such youth and before the judgment. In these next few verses, we have a picture of the body. And in all of this, of course, it's our bodies to be yielded unto the Lord. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now what he is mentioning here, he says, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Because there's coming a day when these things mentioned in these next few verses are going to happen. And they're a picture of the body. So the keepers of the house are going to tremble. The keepers of the house are the hands. And there's a day when they are going to tremble. They're not going to be as steady and as youthful and as sure as they once were. And the strong men shall bow themselves. This is the muscles that are going to bow. They're not going to be as strong. They're not going to stand up. Especially the back is shown here by bowing down. He doesn't have a strong back in order to push against the load anymore. And the grinders cease because they are few. This is the teeth. And you get old and they fall out. And sometimes you have to replace all of them. Well, anyway, he says there's coming this particular time. So what he is doing is painting a picture of a person that's gotten old in his physical body. And so the sound of the grind, those that look out at the windows be darkened. Of course, the eyes become dim. At this point, he can't see the way that he wants to. Now, Solomon becomes quite poetic, I think, in this particular place. Verse 4, the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Now, I think that the doors here refer to the mouth, because, you know, you open the mouth to speak, and then, as he says here, all the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding or the teeth is low. And so this mouth would be shut. It would not open in the wisdom and the strong voice that it used to open with. Continuing verse 4, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. This seems to indicate the things and thoughts of the mind. In other words, he would rise up at the voice of the bird. There would be the thoughts. The mind would still be active. And, of course, this is true. Even when you can't lift your hand, your mind is still active. So that would still be lifted up there. But all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And that could possibly refer to his vocal cords. In other words, that they wouldn't be able to make those sweet sounds that they used to make, but they're brought low. Verse 5, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. Desire shall fail, because man goes to his long home, that is death, the mourners go about the streets. So what he's saying here is that this man has come to a place, all he's got to look forward to is death. Well, he's gotten so old, the keepers of the house, they're not keeping the house anymore, the grinders are not grinding, and he can't sing anymore, and so there is actually fear in his heart. The poor old fellow's gotten down so weak that even the grasshopper would be a burden to him anymore. So this is quite some weakness. Verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loose. That silver cord is the spinal cord that runs up and down the back. Or the golden bowl be broken. That would be his head. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern. And this tells us of the hut, that the fountain here would be the heart or the cistern there. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. So you see how he's talking about the body, that the body is going to return to the dust from whence it came. Now this is the things it's been doing all this time, and yet it's going to get old and vanish away. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So the body will go back to dust, but he said the spirit going back unto God. Vanity, vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Here all this time, men trusted in the grinders, they trusted in the hands, they trusted in all this stuff, and it all vanished away. Well, what's left? Vanity, vanity, says the preacher, there's just nothing here. So now then, we appreciate a little bit more about what James said. Our life is but a vapor, which is here for a moment, and vanishes away. Moreover, verse 9, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed. He sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which is written is upright, even words of truth. And you find that to be true in his writings in the Proverbs to his own son, and then, of course, this wonderful book of the Song of Solomon, and undoubtedly other bits of wisdom that Solomon gave unto the people. They were good words and good knowledge. Verse 11, the words of the wise were as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which was given from one shepherd. Further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. And that's true even in studying the Word of God. There is a great weariness just to studying the Scripture, but it is profitable. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So he's going to sum up actually the entire book. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. And what he is saying is just yield to the Lord. If you want to prosper, and if you want to get away from all of this vanity that we've been talking about in the book of Ecclesiastes, then yield unto God, and he will give you eternal benefits, which is not empty and void and vanity. God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so, regardless of what men are doing today, God will bring it to light. And of course, he's going to give rewards unto those that have yielded to him and done good works. And then, as Paul says, he that is builded with wood, hay, and stubble, his works shall be burned, yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so God is going to be the judge. Well, let us yield to God and lay up those eternal treasures and not be caught up in the vanity of vanities that Solomon spoke of in this book. All right, any questions? Separate you from it. And